Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas. Today we are joined by Dan LeMoyne. He talks about how our secular business can be a place of redemptive work. He shares about the fascinating science behind our metabolism and how our bodies work. He talks openly about challenges of working closely with your spouse and family and how at the end of the day, we are all craving human interaction and connection in this virtual age. Let's dive in.
Today we have with us Dan LeMoyne. He's a great friend of ours. He and his wife, Danae, worked at the school that we served at in the Dominican Republic for a few years. We overlapped and we wanted to have him on and just talk a little bit about what he's been working on recently. So welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Honored to be with you guys. So exciting.
Yeah, I think you served under me. You were a direct report for me for 1 year. And so I think I can I can actually take credit for every good thing that's happened in your life post that year.
Year ever.
Yeah, it really was. And then your wife was actually my supervisor the following year. So she can take credit for every good thing in my life after that.
I love it.
Blame for every bad thing in your life.
You say that in a joking way, but like I feel like having crossed paths with and gotten to do life alongside both of you guys deeply formed, I think, a lot of my philosophy about business and life and family. We even got to live with you guys for a short time, which just is, I mean, that's discipleship right there. Just getting to just be in those ordinary moments with people, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Dan and Danae were they were literally our closest neighbors. We could throw a rock and hit their house and just served and did life together in an international setting for, we overlapped for 2 years together. So you really tend to get close in those scenarios. And that was definitely the case with us and the LeMoyne. So, I'm really just thankful for you guys being here. Okay. So bring us up to speed on where you are now. What has happened in your life since then? And where do you guys live? What do you do?
Yeah. So, we left the Dominican, in 2017, we actually ended up moving to Arizona. I think we were looking back to the States. And I can get into maybe why we were looking to kind of come off the missions field to a different missions field, I guess you could consider this. But basically we're like, where's the hottest place we can move? Because the Caribbean's amazing. And we're from Northeast Ohio where it's just like gray and wet and cold. And we're like, all right, Arizona or Florida. And it was down to those two. And we chose Arizona and have been loving it ever since. But, yeah, I think during our time in the Dominican, I had actually, what brought us to the Dominican or part of it, I think I was just super jaded by some of my experience in the business world. And frankly, kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater and just was like really questioning, like, does God have a place for business? Is this just like a lost sphere of culture? Really kind of wrestling with that. And I wasn't kidding when I was just saying, like, doing life alongside you, Tim, and getting to see some of your kind of entrepreneurial side hustles and ventures and the way that you were approaching things and getting to meet with other folks that we worked alongside down there, as well as other people who we just got to know during that time, really, I think, helped me reshape kind of my philosophy on business and realizing that, like, there is a place for business in God's plan to redeeming culture and bringing his kingdom, or at least elements of it, to now, right? And I think that fired me up to be like, I want to be back in the business world. I tried to start like a business accelerator co-working space down there that kind of fizzled, and just knew that I wanted to be back in that game and felt like that had to be played out kind of back in the States in my home country. And my wife and I had an opportunity. We were looking at a couple different opportunities. And during the time that we were in the Dominican, my father-in-law had started this tiny little weight loss clinic up in Ohio. And as I learned more and more about what they were doing and the philosophy around it, and my mom had actually gone through the program successfully, I started getting fired up about, like, hey, could we see if this concept travels? And that was really, I think, the genesis of our business now as we have it here in Arizona was essentially my father-in-law saying, like, let's do it. I'll give you guys the kind of the keys to the kingdom and take this and modify the model and build this business out in Arizona. And that's kind of what we've been doing vocationally, at least out here.
That's amazing. And I think the tendency is, just like you said, the tendency is to silo our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our professional vocation and our faith. And a lot of times we try and keep that separate. And I don't think that's necessarily what God wants or what the culture needs. You know, we should be mixing our faith and belief and business all in one and letting mm-hmm. it marinate. And because it creates some really cool conversations out in the marketplace that aren't necessarily being had all the time. So I'm so glad that you guys are leaning mm-hmm. into that and letting your faith inform the business that you guys have built. So good on you, man.
Yeah, I think, and it's hard. It's a hard working that out, you know, like when you're bumping up against the different patterns of the world. I mean, the four of us, Danae, myself, the Scarboroughs, like we know this. If you've ever lived outside of your home country, you can like viscerally feel when you're bumping up against like a culture that's not yours, yeah. right? But then when you're back in your home country, it can start to seep back in. You can just start to adopt these thought patterns or the way that things the world does it. And that's not innately bad. Necessarily, but it becomes a lot harder to see those things of like, am I just like conforming to just this like the pattern of the world here? Or and I think that's the challenge that we're in every day is just excuse me, as we're building our business, you know, are we just doing this marketing thing because that's the way the world does marketing? Are we just doing this, you know, human resources thing because this is like the way that the world does it? Or are we really trying to question like how do we want it? Like what is our intuition and what is the Holy Spirit kind of leading us in? And we don't get it right all the time, but if all of life is all for Jesus, like we need to be really trying to push into that. And we do that better in certain seasons than others, that's for sure.
Well, I love that you're kind of just leading into this next thought that we wanted to touch on. And, you know, so you mentioned you, Danae, and your in-laws, you guys own this business and it's been growing over the past couple of years in really exciting ways. But talk a little bit more about how being a disciple of Christ impacts how you guys run this business.
That's a great question that I think everybody should be asking themselves and each other, right? Within the kind of the body of believers is like, hey, how's our faith informing how you're doing your work? Right. You know, there's a couple thoughts that come to me on that one. I think the first is like family business is really difficult. It's got a lot of perks to it and it's really fun to build something with people you love. But inevitably there becomes times where you just have differing opinions and visions for where the business should go and how it should be run. And I think without kind of like marriage, like I'm sometimes like I'm baffled by like, how can somebody stay married that doesn't have this like beautiful model of like Jesus and have like a faith foundation to kind of like go back to and say, hey, we have this common value of like, we've made this covenant together. I kind of feel a little bit the same way about business that like, if it weren't for like my in-laws and Danae and I having this like shared, like knowledge of knowing that like we're brothers and sisters in Christ, ultimately, I think it probably would have fallen apart. Like there's been some moments where it's just, we deeply disagreed, but we can still come to the table, with a reasonableness and frankly, a gentleness that allows us to kind of work through that conflict, trusting that there is intimacy on the other side. And that's not without scars and wounds and things like that come with it. So I think that's one area, and I'm happy to dive even more deeper into that because we've had some blowouts, not blowouts, but just moments where we've just varied our opinions on where the business should go and what we should be doing. And then I think the other is just really thinking through like what are your values, at least here at Revitalize, our clinics, like we really try to integrate our values, and those are kind of things that we say we do believe and then things we're also trying to live into. So they're aspirational as much as they are like what we are, and try to figure out how do we codify and integrate those into our training, into the way that we coach, have our coaches coach our clients. And I think that's where Danae has just an uncanny ability of figuring out like, yeah, these are the things we say we believe. How do we actually codify it into training? How do we actually live this out?
That's cool.
And it is amazing. It really is amazing. And I always say, like, if we ever like left Revitalize or sold it or whatever, like I would want to go full time, like, I don't know, consulting or build something and just like helping organizations really think through like that mission statement on the wall, those core values you say you believe, like, are these actually integrated into like the fabric of your organization? And if not, like, what do we need to do to make that happen?
Yeah, that's amazing. So, I mean, you spoke a little bit about it, but what has it been like to work with family? I mean, you're working with your wife and with your father-in-law. So what does that look like?
It's been challenging. I think a lot of times, and maybe you guys have experienced this having worked together at Doulos and doing some of the things that you guys are doing together. Like, I'll mention that and be like, people will be like, I could never work with my spouse. We would kill each other. And I'm like, that's all we know. Like, really, like we got married in 2012. And 5 weeks later, we moved to the Dominican Republic to start working at Doulos.
Wow. I remember y'all had all kinds of fresh wedding posters all around your house.
Anything that could fit in those first two suitcases. Sometimes you wonder, like, why did that make it on the first trip? Like, why was it that so important? We had a giant bag of coral that we like collected from the beach on our honeymoon that somehow took up valuable luggage space on our very first trip down to like moving down to
the
Dominican.
Turns out you could have found plenty of that when you got to the island.
Oh my gosh. So silly. I mean, it's a challenge. I think in some ways we've questioned like, golly, should we be doing this together? Like as a couple. And then there's on our best moments when we get a little perspective, we're like, this I think has been like a laboratory that God has used to, I think, like fast track our relationship as far as kind of like how we communicate, emotional intelligence. I know it's grown me just a ton in my ability to understand conflict, that conflict isn't bad. Conflict can result in intimacy and like how to have hard conversations and push into accountability and keeping each other accountable and employees accountable. And so it is really hard. And ultimately, I mean, I think with my in-laws, same thing. I mean, it's, you have disagreements and then you're still going over for Sunday dinner. Right. Yeah. And very similar to, I felt like when we're all missionaries in the Dominican Republic. It's like, yeah, your employees and your supervisors are also your neighbors and your best buds. Yeah. And like, that's gets really messy sometimes. And like, but the fact of the matter is you live in this tiny little mountain town in the Dominican, there's nowhere else to go. You kind of have to figure out how to push through or else life is going to just be miserable. And if you don't resolve that stuff, it sucks. And so you're kind of forced to like work it out. And I kind of feel like that's somewhat of like what we're missing in America in general is like, we just drive into our garages, shut the garage, and then we sit on our back porches and never really engage in community. We don't know our neighbors. Yeah. I'm in a small group and I don't like what this person, how they voted. So I'm going to go find another church. It's like, or you could stick it out and figure it out. Right. So I don't know. That's my two bits on that.
That's good. No, that's some good wisdom.
We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by Eric Lehman at Thrivent Financial.
Wendy and I became members with Thrivent a couple of years ago, right before I went skydiving. And then she sent me on a ski trip by myself with some buddies. So I have the feeling that she wanted the life insurance policy just in case things went awry, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Listen, I am married to someone I know is an adventurous spirit who I think you said the other day, if there's not a chance I could die, it's not exciting for me, or something along those lines. But back to the ad, okay? So seriously, we really are big fans of Thrivent. Not only does Thrivent offer a range of financial services from, like we talked about, life insurance to retirement plans, they also encourage you to give back to your community through something called action teams.
And through these action teams, they actually provide resources and funds to help you meet needs in your local community. So it's really nice. I am being held hostage right now. So this is a cry for help. Somebody help me.
Stop it. So if you're interested, look into a Thrivent near you at www.thrivent.com.
Help me.
And now back to the conversation.
Would you just tell us a little bit more about the nature of your business and what you guys do at Revitalize?
Yeah, so Revitalize Weight Loss is the name of our company, and at the core of what we do is we really are trying to not just help people lose weight, but how do we figure out how to keep it off? The old kind of ways of going about that, of calories in, calories out, the research is coming out that's a pretty broken and oversimplified model. And the metabolism is usually at the heart of why folks struggle to keep weight off, or why their body's putting on weight when, I mean, we all see it, right? It's like, why is this person in the gym every single day and it doesn't seem like their body's changing at all? Or why can I eat a piece of pizza and I lose weight and somebody, you know, Tim, you eat a piece of pizza and you gain 5 pounds. Like what's up with that? And it comes back to our unique kind of biochemical makeup. And we have some technology that really helps us remove the guesswork as to like, why is the body holding on to more weight than it needs to? And really gives you a roadmap of, hey, these are the best foods and the optimal foods for me for weight loss. Here are the things that might be causing inflammation. Here are the micronutrients my body's deficient in that I need to be supplementing. And at the end of the day, giving people a bespoke path to sustainable weight loss. And then just a lot of accountability. I think we have a really robust coaching practice as part of our program that once you get to your goal weight, you're still traveling with us, or we're traveling with you for a full year after the program's over to make sure that you're keeping it off.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you have had a recent project that you've been working on with your father-in-law, a book that you guys just came out with that has actually had some really good milestones. You hit some bestseller lists and things like that on Amazon. And so tell us a little bit about that book. What's the impetus of this book and how can people find it?
Yeah, well, so yeah, the book is called Fear No Food. And we kind of put a pretty big stake in the subtitle is like, this is the last weight loss program you'll ever need. Nice. And Fear No Food really comes from something we've been telling our clients from the days that we kind of opened. And once you're through that more structured part of our weight loss journey, or rather your weight loss journey with us, we say, don't fear food. There's so many good programs out there that, yeah, you can lose weight. But then the moment you daydream about a donut, you gain 10 pounds. And that sucks. And that's a very real feeling for a lot of people where they're like, yeah, I could cut carbs forever, but like, how is that a sustainable life? Like, I want to live my life. And we say, if we can fix the furnace, if we can get the metabolism working again and giving you a roadmap back to home base, if you ever do get overindulged a little bit, which happens, you don't have to fear food. You can go to the holiday party and enjoy things within reason, of course. And your body should stay stable. Because we're actually getting to the root issue. And so that's really the premise of the book, is an extension of the work that we've been doing for, since 2017 here in our clinics. And I think a lot of, sometimes you'll see a book come out and then somebody's building a practice around the book. It's like that. We kind of did it the opposite way. And that isn't to disparage that model at all, but we've been doing this work on boots on the ground for years. And we just felt like, how do we scale our impact and get this, at least the pillars of our approach, into the hands of more people that maybe aren't right near one of our clinics here in Arizona or Ohio. And that's kind of where the book came from, was just saying there's a lot of good stuff out there on the internet and in other books, but how do we synthesize what we're doing? You're obviously not going to get the bespoke plan from the technology we use or, the coaching necessarily, but it gives you a pretty darn good starting point and understanding of our philosophy, the things that maybe you need to look at beyond just calories in, calories out to, make better decisions.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys really get into the science and data behind a lot of these habit-forming behaviors that you talk about in the book, and you get people to really know their own body and what's unique about their situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that do the best on our program over the long haul, they're really students of not just the program learning about food, but they're really students of their body. They're trying to understand, hey, what are my triggers? When am I, most susceptible to overindulging? What foods work really well with me? What makes me feel like I'm full of life, and what foods am I eating that maybe just make me feel sluggish or slow or have heartburn? And really being a student of your body tells you a lot when you start to listen.
That's really good. Cool. I'm so glad you guys are working on that. It sounds like a passion project for you and your father-in-law. And I know recently you and I were texting about something that you referred to as phytonutrients, and that's just where you take pictures of your food, right? Phytonutrients?
Phytonutrients, Tim. Oh, phytonutrients.
Okay, that's probably.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, if you've kind of dabbled in any of the nutrition space or tried to lose weight on your own on the internet, like you'll hear a lot about macros, like macro counting, and which is essentially just like what's the ratio of protein, carbs, and fats that you're eating. That's very popular right now. And that I'm not saying that's not a good way to go, because what gets measured gets managed. And if you're being aware of what you're eating, if you're counting macros, that's the way to do it. Keep doing that. But what we're finding is that oftentimes, especially when we're talking about the metabolism, when your biochemistry shifts because of a birth of a kiddo or stressful job situation or marriage or a divorce or menopause, like all of those things shift your internal biochemistry and your internal like micronutrient levels that could affect that biochemistry. You become deficient in certain things. And so if we can understand what those micronutrients or phytonutrients are that you need and can get those through whole food sources or like whole food based kind of supplementation, we can actually start addressing or repairing some of those kind of maybe metabolic issues, so that the metabolism can heal, so you can go enjoy a piece of pizza and a beer from time to time, at least for the Lutherans, right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, okay, this is fascinating. And I think one of the things that resonated that you said was teaching people to be students of their body. And I think that idea of even just being teachable is something I think that we see all throughout the scripture, right? We see that in the Bible, of even just having a heart that's eager to learn, an open heart, a willing heart. It's really the opposite of pride, right? And so I would just love to hear more about, for you, again, going back to kind of our initial topic of faith in business, how did your faith inform writing this book?
You know, I think just it being an extension of our program, I think the philosophy kind of approaching the book was very similar to our program. Is like, if we're really passionate, there's just something special about meeting somebody's very real tangible needs. And like Tim kind of mentioned earlier, like there, we can silo things into kind of the sacred and the secular, that like, oh, well, yeah, my prayer life and my church time, that's sacred. But then I go and I build websites for this branding company, or then I go and I, you know, clean hotel rooms. And that's just the, you know, the secular, that doesn't, mm-hmm. one doesn't meet the other. And I think with the book or with our business in general, like there's something magical about, for us, about like meeting a very felt human need. Like mm-hmm. we are seeing lives changed through people losing weight and coming off blood pressure medications, or being able to get up and down off the ground without having to hold a piece of furniture and play with their grandkids. Mm-hmm. And while we're not kind of overtly, quote unquote, spreading the gospel, because not all of our staff members necessarily have that same faith tradition or understanding. We are meeting people, and that's opening up like deeper conversations in our coaching rooms or with Danae and I, with folks, about just deeper things. Like when you hit a very felt need, and that's not to say cleaning a hotel room or building a website's any less of a felt need, but when it's that visceral of like your health and your ability to move your body and live a healthy life, it's kind of magical how like how bought in people become. And this like really becomes like a very safe place for our clients. And that's really magical and beautiful for us. And to be able to delight our clients in that way, where we have folks who come in here and they're like, this is the highlight of my week, coming to see you guys for my coaching appointment, because of the way that you guys greet us. And I feel like I've got a family or like some deep friendships here. And that, like, man, you can't get more gratification than that. Sure, there's definitely, we have our moments where clients are upset and you have to fight fires and all that stuff. But those are, I think for us, at least back to your question of like, how does our faith inform why we're doing business? Like, that's the stuff right there, in my opinion.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people are just craving for that connection, right? Connecting about something that's important to them. So for our listeners, just share, why does this matter? Like, why does this matter for the broader audience that might be listening to this today?
Yeah. Well, back to something that you just mentioned too, of like people craving this stuff. Like I think, and back to maybe my comment about like just adopting like, you know, the patterns of the world, like you're seeing this huge shift to everything online, everything digital. And I think it's really sexy and it's really easy to think like we should be doing that. And we do, right. we have a virtual remote program that we can do. We can facilitate our program to anyone, you know, anywhere. But I'm like, when everybody's zigging, how do we zag? And I really feel like there is something to like, hey, you're coming in and you're sitting with the coach, you're seeing the whites of their eyes and you're being held accountable in the most loving way to the things that you set out and said, these were your goals, and people are loving it. Like people are craving human interaction right now when it feels like the world is so divisive and it feels like everybody is just hiding away in their house, and like COVID has exacerbated what we already were as a culture, which is very independent and very kind of isolated. And I feel like I'm like, okay, how do we double down on this? Like, how do we do more of the in-person? How do we do more of like human connection and the delightfulness of a personal connection. I know that wasn't your question, Tim. But I wanted to kind of loop back on that of just what people are craving. Danae and I are kind of been in a mode of just talking about like some sin that I think we both recognize in ourselves, and which I mean has played to, I think, some little bit of success that we've had in the different things that we've tried, but it's like very much like it's all on me. Like the outcome is 100% dependent on my input. And absolutely, that is just not the truth. Yeah. Like if we're going to build organizations that are like rooted in the Lord, like we have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, like we're not called to be like, oh, wrapped up in the outcomes. We're called to like be faithful with the efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like recognize that those efforts are really like, if the outcome is just forming our character, that is more than enough, you know? And I think we're kind of in that mode right now of just kind of God teaching us that.
That's so good.
Well, that's the difference between a work-based versus a faith-based belief, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, that was the Pharisees thought the same thing. They said, you know, we have to obey every letter of this law. And then Jesus came and kind of blew that up. And
yeah,
it left them like shaking their head, like, we don't even understand what you're talking about, you know? And that's kind of, it's a similar scenario now. Like we sometimes think that our effort is what's going to get us to the next place, you know, wherever we want to be, when in reality, it's actually us letting go of some of those things and having more of an open-handed view of just life in general.
Mm-hmm. I've been writing.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Pace would, oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. But Patrick, what were you going to say?
He would always talk about like the sailboat, like these like competitive sailboats. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of hard work happening on the boat, but like without wind, it's not going anywhere, but you still have to like work to like catch the wind, but you're coming at it from a, like, I just feel like can you come at like, I'm trying to still get the best outcome, but like I'm holding loosely to the outcome and just like trying to, you know, other to talk about like enjoying the process and enjoying the journey. Like it's all the same stuff, but I think it's maybe a little bit deeper recognizing like, we actually know how this does turn out. It turns out freaking amazing for those in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about, as you guys are talking about this, that I've been writing a lot this past fall in my theology class on rest, and that one of the themes in scripture is that the three persons of the Trinity invite us into rhythms of rest for an enduring faith. And it's interesting to think about how, you know, the Bible begins with this picture of rest that is, you know, has nothing to do with man's work. It has to do with, like, God sets this precedent for rest, and from here on out, it's something even after the fall, you know, like he does that before the fall, but then even after the fall, we get to rest, not because we have worked all week, but because he is God. And it's a command, but it's also a gift, you know? And so it's something that he's saying, like, do this, trust me with this day off, and the rest of your days are going to be better because of it. Your work is going to be so much better because of this day of rest, because you're going to remember that I am God.
We find this to be true. Know? Like, this works. You know, like, I mean, the studies show, like, you put in more than like 40 to 50 hours, like every health marker and productivity marker just tanks.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. It's just like, we have to do this. And what we've found to be true along that line is like I can't like kill myself mentally and or physically throughout the week and not have like a rhythm of rest throughout the week and just expect to be able to stop and truly rest on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Like there has to be these like rhythms of rest. Like one of the things I've been doing this year is like every morning spending like 30 minutes in kind of prayerful meditation, like instead of going to the gym, like how do I exercise my mind and my spiritual muscles. And it's just been just this beautiful, like little Central Park amidst this busy city of my life. And like, how do I weave more and more of those things in?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So tell our listeners where they can find more resources on this. Where can they go to find your book? Where can they go to learn about your program?
Yeah. So, I mean, our program website, and you can navigate to the book from there, is Revitalize Weight Loss. You can also find our book, revitalizeweightloss.com, our Amazon, you can find us on Amazon, Fear No Food by Dr. Nola Bood and Dan Lemoyne, on Amazon will come up. We should still be up close to the top. We hit bestseller, I think, the first or second week that we were on Amazon. So I hope the algorithms are still blessing us.
That's huge.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. But I think the punchline of a lot of this and what we've talked about on and offline is just work does matter. Like, this is something you're spending your life, you know, a lot of it at work. And I think for us to have like a renewed imagination about our vocation is really I think something that we could all level up on, or most of us could. I have a good friend, his name's Jim Mullins. He wrote this beautiful book called The Symphony of Mission. And this guy has the best imagination. And to the point where there was a season he was telling me about where he was a janitor, and he was coming, I think they were coming off the missions field, or maybe he was like an NBA recruiter in like Turkey for like the Turkish basketball. Jim, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, I'm butchering your bio. But he talks a lot about like just being down in the dumps about having to be like a janitor, until like he really just started praying that like, Jesus, please just redeem my imagination about my work, and just started like really getting super psyched about like this like microbiological warfare that he was called to as a janitor.
Wow.
Like keeping people healthy by making sure that these toilets and sinks were clean, and the client experience of making sure that the floors were spick and span when they're coming in for their first visit or whatnot. And I think we could all use a bit of that, where it's like, hey, do you really realize like when you're bringing your best self to work, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a busy executive, like that is touching lives, even if it feels like it isn't. Like, use your imagination a little bit and you'll start to spider web that, like, when I bring my best self to work, Revitalize is a healthier place. That impacts one of our dear, dear employees, Lauren. And who does she impact? Well, she impacts her boyfriend, Ben. And he impacts when he's doing well. Like, and you can start to do this like spider web. And pretty soon you realize like you're bringing your best self, the self that you were created to bring to work, to bring a little bit of that like heaven culture here and now, can literally touch lives in other parts of the world by you bringing your best self to work here, like wherever it is that you are. And that's just a cool thing when you really start to kind of slow down and think about that. You're like, oh my gosh, like that renews my attitude about like going in and like diving in. I've got to, like, after I get off this call, like I'm probably going to be like 4 hours in a spreadsheet that I was not looking forward to. And just talking about this, like, I don't know if you can hear my voice, but I'm like, I'm pumped. Like, because this means like Revitalize is going to be a healthier place. I'll be able to pay these bonuses that I need to pay. And who is that going to impact, like, in those people's lives? Like, that's an awesome thing. And anybody could do that same exercise.
Absolutely. Dan, this is so good. We have so enjoyed this conversation. I am so encouraged just to know the impact that you guys are having, not only in the place that God has you guys in Arizona, but to know that your book and what you guys are doing is impacting lives and having a ripple effect. Just like you said, that spider web effect. And so We're so encouraged, and it's a joy to connect with you. I know Danae is about to have y'all's first baby, so we just want to congratulate you guys on that. Mm. And we're excited for this next season for you guys. So
thank you so much. Yeah, I check back in a year, and I'll just be like, gosh, what is sleep like again? I'm miserable.
That's right.
No,
that's right. We're excited for y'all. Yeah.
Well, here we go. The beginning of the end.
So dramatic.
Somebody has to be. Okay, if you could have one completely useless superpower, what would it be and why?
A completely useless superpower?
Yeah, it could not be used to benefit you or anyone else in any way. It has to be utterly useless.
I totally know.
What?
You could just literally eat anything and it has no effect on you whatsoever. Like, doesn't make you sick to your stomach, doesn't make you gain weight, doesn't make you...
But that benefits you.
What?
That benefits you.
What do you mean?
If you could eat whatever you want and not gain weight. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, you said one completely useless superpower.
That is totally useful. What are you talking about? That has the use of not gaining weight.
Oh, I guess I was thinking what you were saying was like... I don't know why I thought that. That was just what came to my mind. It just sounded so great.
Everybody would want that superpower.
You're walking like, you know, you smell, I don't know, you're walking through the mall, which those don't really exist anymore. You smell Cinnabon and you're like, yes, I'm going to eat 3 pounds of cinnamon roll.
Yeah, that's not a useless superpower. Everyone would want that.
Well, it's useless. Okay, here's the thing. It's useless in the sense of it's not like flying and saving someone from a falling building or, you know, like, I don't know, like Spider-Maning up a wall to pull someone out of, you know, a building on fire or, you know, I don't know, seeing through a wall. I'm trying to think of all the superpowers. See, reading people's minds. Like, all those are, like, useful in the sense of, like, they use them for, you know, like, actually saving the world. That's useless in the sense that it's, like, it has no purpose other than just, like, I just get to, like, eat whatever I want, you know, like.
Yeah, but it's useful in the sense that.
It benefits me, I seriously.
Yeah, a lot.
So
of
how what do you mean by useless superpower then?
Okay.
Because anything I can think of that would be useless is like fun. Like,
no, so here's my example. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
To be able to eat an entire ream of paper in one bite.
What?
Exactly. Why? It doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit the world or anyone else.
But it's so like ridiculous.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the level of uselessness I'm looking for.
That's not even fun. That just sounds gross.
I don't know. It would,
like, that's
it
like
could
eating
be fun.
A bunch of splinters and stuff.
Yeah, but it would be my gift, you know, like uniquely mine.
You could just chomp it. Just eat it all.
Eat the paper. It's gone.
Eat the ream of paper.
One bite.
Well, again, I'm thinking of ones that are kind of cool. Like, I could just literally be like, bam, plant, and it could just like grow up.
Yeah, see, useful.
Oh my god.
Gotta think outside the box here.
I mean, I don't know, like,
this is an exercise in creativity. I thought you were a creative.
I am creative. I'm thinking of good things. You're thinking of worthless gifts.
That was the question.
Eat a ream of paper? Like,
well, in one bite. Anyone can eat a ream of paper. I said in one bite.
This is by far the most ridiculous question you've ever asked. I don't know. I mean, like, puff myself up like a big marshmallow and float around the world? Like, what?
Okay. Take the float around the world part out of it, and I think we've narrowed it down. Just puff yourself up like a big marshmallow.
Like a blueberry from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yep. That's your superpower. You can puff up like a marshmallow, but you don't get to float or anything. You just are ginormous.
I'm just like the size of a small globe. Yeah. Just can be like rolled around in the backyard.
Nope. See, you're making it useful. It can't be useful.
I was legitimately laughing so hard. Okay, what's your next question? Okay. I'm done with this one.
All right.
Can't do it anymore.
Okay, you're going to like this one. After having started and run a nonprofit organization and women's ministry for a few years now, is there anything that you would do different? Not like vocationally.
Honestly, not really. I mean, I don't really feel like there's anything glaring that jumps out to me. I think there's little things along the way of like, oh, I mishandled that situation, or I could have, you know, approached that person better, or I didn't handle that tension well, or little things like that. But in like the grand scheme, not much, other than I feel like we've sought to be really grounded in prayer, but I always feel like we could do more of it. I guess that would maybe be one of the only things, is thinking back that there are a lot of times when I'm like, man, I feel like we were so caught up in the planning of that day, or all the arranging of all those details, the day of the banquet, or that gathering with all those people, and instead of, you know, making sure all the things were lined up and all the ducks were in a row, we didn't just stop where we were and, you know, circle up and just pray. I think we've done it. We have prayed. And I do think that there's been a lot of prayer put into this ministry, but there's definitely been times when I've thought back and thought, man, we didn't really cover that in prayer throughout the whole thing. I've said we should pray beginning, middle, and end, and I think sometimes we pray at the end or at the beginning, but yeah, I don't know, that's the main thing that I think of.
Alright.
And I guess it's just, that's like, comes back to just like dependence on God and going to Him to ask Him to work versus us spinning our wheels and trying to make all the things happen. You know?
Yeah.
That'd be the main thing.
Well, yeah. You get a redo.
What?
Yeah.
Do you have the superpower of like giving me back time lost?
No, we're starting the organization over now.
Oh my gosh.
Starting today.
No, please don't do that.
Well, I want you to work on that. Okay?
Oh, wow.
I need you to pray about that.
That was a reprimand. Okay.
We'll see you next time.
To find show notes for this and past episodes, or to engage on a deeper level, you can go to wovenministry.com/podcast. If you enjoy what you hear so far, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps listeners find and share this feed. If you'd like to tell us what you enjoyed about this podcast or ask your hard question, you can call us at 512-815-2446. That's 512-815-2446. You'll simply leave a voicemail with what's on your mind, and we might just include your voice on a future episode. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown. Recording and production by Tim Scarborough. I'm Whitney Scarborough, and we'll be back here with more very soon. Thanks for listening.